From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online. That is Rambo? What are we doing?
I don't know.
Anyway, I'm the UCLA site on the 247 Sports Network. I did the thing again where the noise was playing from my YouTube instead of this. And so I'm just staring blankly at the screen. It also was a delayed refresh. Don't blame me. I'm sick.
I'm Ryan Abraham from, I do the USC site over at uscfootball.com, also part of the 247 Sports Network. I'm not sick. I'm in studio. And David's at home, lovely El Segundo, California, because he's not feeling well. I don't know how if I'm feeling great. Did my F45 workout this morning, David. We dressed up for workout, so I just said, screw it. I'll wear the costume here. So some kind of army guy, Rambo, whatever. I don't know. But yeah, but me and David, his sickly, non-costumed person at home, and me here in studio, dressed for Halloween. Together, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Big Ten football. We got a big one this week, David.
We have such a large one, a girthy one, a tumescent one, an engorged one.
Yes.
It is a throbbing game.
No more Michael Penix this season.
No
but,
more.
Unfortunately, we had Alex Orji for a little bit, but now he's on the bench. But so if you want to get a hold of us, you want to send us a question, big10cast@gmail.com is a great way to do that. You can send us an email. You can also text us or leave us a voicemail, 424-532-0678. Well, I'm sorry, my voice is...
You got my throat gonorrhea.
Did you leave it here in the studio and I caught it or something?
I might have left it somewhere else, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, there you go. Wonka wonka. Okay, you could tweet us at B1G Podcast. And if you have Spotify or your Apple podcasting app, we'd love to get a 5-star rating from you for the show, The Podcast of Champions. The true champion of podcasts. That's what we are. But if you have the Apple podcasting app, you can also leave us a review. And what we're doing is bribing you with Trader Joe's gift cards. So if you leave us a great 5-star review, you can make fun of us, whatever you want to say in it. Just be funny. We'll read it no matter what. You could say we're both the worst people in the world. We will still read it if you leave us 5 stars. And the best one of the week, and we'll do this on a recap show, we'll get a gift card. I just got from our friend John and Brea a bunch of $31 gift cards now. So we have good prizes for our survivor pool. We have 3 people left. They're $31 because Indiana scored 31 points against Washington last week. The original gift cards are 17 because UCLA scored 17 against LSU. So I still have a pile of these things. So we have other ways to give them out. But like we want to, the best reviews. I actually sent out 2 gift cards from our reviews this past week. We had 3 good reviews and the third one sent me their emails, their mailing address. So I'll send that one out as well. But those first two, gift cards are already out in the mail, David. So I'm taking care of it for you.
That is efficiency. That is, we're just going to call him Ryan USPS Abraham because neither rain nor sleet nor snow nor dark of night, is that what it is, will prevent you from delivering the mail.
Camp says, not in office with Ryan on Halloween, no lunch, we demand lunch. We were supposed to have lunch today. We were thinking about Proudly Serving, which is a cool spot in Hermosa. You get the burgers and beers. I think it would kind of be in that range of...
Let's do that next week.
We'll do it. But David got the throat gonorrhea, so he's out. So he couldn't do that. So, okay, we have some questions and stuff. So if you are watching us live on YouTube, thank you for that. And our apologies for everything we do. I'll put some of your comments up on the screen. Trojans fan, home of the world champion LA Dodgers. Yes, the center of the Big Ten universe now has the World Series champions as well. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Matthew says, love Ryan and David. Congrats to any Dodgers fans. And Colt says, is it Big Ten Cast or Big Ten Cast with the number? So our email.
It's all letters, baby.
All letters. Big Ten Cast. So do that. But we're already getting some questions and stuff in the chat. I will try to, you know, as we're hosting, put this stuff up on the screen. Thank you for watching live or watching it on replay. Please thank all of you for being part of this. You know, this was a transition year for us. Not in a certain sense, in the sense of we were covering the Pac-12 and now we're covering the Big Ten. And we had a lot. I mean, we loved our listenership in the Pac-12, but losing programs, you know, like Colorado and Utah and Arizona. I mean, there was a lot of the fans that we kind of got to know, even the, you know, Pacific Northwest people like Oregon State and Washington State. Mm-hmm. It was tougher. And now we're like introducing a whole bunch of new fans. And it's been a transition for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's we'd obviously like to grow it more, but I think it does need to be organic at some level. And I think you know, we're starting to see some Wisconsin, we're seeing some Minnesota, we're seeing some Rutgers, but getting more and more of your Big Ten cohorts. Listening to our show, because obviously as the foremost experts on the Big Ten,
right.
We feel like we have a lot of knowledge to impart.
We've been covering this conference for several months.
Yeah.
Who knows more about it than us?
Yes. We're talented interlocutors.
Yes. All right. Well, thanks again to everyone. However you are watching or listening, it's always a lot of fun. We got to do our previews. Before we jump into that, I want to let everyone know about our friends over at MyBookie. If you've been going against David's picks and my picks, you've been doing pretty well. We both were 3-5 last week. It was a rough week. I'm still 6 games above 500. I mean, I was significantly over that, and it's been coming back. Been coming backwards. David, you're 2 games under 500 picking the game. So we'll see if we can kind of bounce back this week, all Saturday games. But go over to MyBookie. If you haven't tried it out, a lot of fun. You can put a little juice on all the different games. You can go against our picks. You can go with our picks. And if you like first half lines, second half lines, if you like the way you want to watch how the teams play, and then the first quarter, you're going to make a bet on the second half line. You can do all that over under. Anything you want to do, you can do over at MyBookie. It doesn't have to just be for the Pac-12, I mean, the Big 12, the Big 10 games, I would get the conference right. Anything in college football, anything in the NFL, however you want to bet it, you can do it over at MyBookie. And if you haven't gone there yet, go over there, check it out. Your first initial deposit, we will match over there. Use the promo code POC. So say you put in $100 to have some fun with, they'll match it to go up to $200. So you have even a little more juice to play with for all
that
of
that sounds your, like free money to me.
That's free money.
That's free money.
We like free money.
Why are you foregoing free money out there? That's what I want to know.
Get in there because you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only at MyBookie. So go check
and
it
I'm
out.
I'm sure you're listening to the show and you're like, these guys don't know a goddamn thing they're talking about ever. Why don't I just fade them constantly?
Yes.
And if you were doing that, to me at least, this season, you'd be making some money. So why not? Just jump on over there to MyBookie. This is a responsible advertisement. We're doing it.
I love it. But yeah, go check it out. And we'll see. Hopefully our picks do better this week. Nick says, honestly, this is the only podcast that got better, weirder, when you lost your source material. It was, I mean, the whole like Pac-12, just covering the Pac-12. The fact that we created a Pac-12 podcast and there wasn't one, nobody was even thinking about that. And we were so bad at it that all these other new ones popped up. And I feel like the same thing. Like there wasn't really a lot of Big Ten podcasts. I think there's more of them now just because, well, if these idiots can do it, anybody can do it.
So true.
We're inspiring to people.
Yeah.
We've created new industries.
We are an inspiration in many, many ways.
Sweet. Okay. So we got to get into our picks for the week. Like I said, there was no Friday games. We have two teams that are on byes, mercifully on byes.
Rutgers, Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knight.
And, such a good one. And
Maryland Terrapins. Snap, snap,
snap, snap, snap. Oh man, Maryland bad. Both these teams are bad. But it's good. You know, maybe you get a little refresh. I get some time off. I don't know. What do you do on a bye week? You go to Cabo now? Like what NIL? Guys with NIL, they just probably
No, you only go to Cabo in February during the middle of UCLA's late coaching search. That's when you go to Cabo.
Nice.
You're a Minnesota's head coach.
All right. Well, we got. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
These are very tight. Like there's literally three windows to watch games, and we have, was it eight games to go through? So it's going to be, you need like multiple screens to get all the stuff going if you want to watch.
And there is one, speaking of tight, there is one double digit spread. Everything else is a score or less.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start off. We're going to do our 9 a.m. game. This isn't that big of one. Maybe a little. I don't know. We'll see.
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
Going to Happy Valley to take on
Penn State Nittany Lions.
Rawr.
If ever James Franklin is going to pull this off, this feels like the opportunity.
It does.
All right. So this game is taken on is taking place at 9 a.m. on Saturday on Big Fox. Number 4 Ohio State 6-1, traveling on the road to number 3 Penn State 7-0. Ohio State is a 3.5-point road favorite. Obviously, that's a reflection of analytic systems where Ohio State is highly efficient on defense, much improved efficiency on offense from last year. It's a stacked all-star team, but Penn State is no slouch. And so this week, it sounds like Drew Aller practiced yesterday, or at least was at practice yesterday. So that's a good sign. Honestly, watching Bo Prabula, though, if Drew Aller doesn't play, I kind of feel like Penn State can be competitive anyway. He can move around back there, complete some short throws, and get out away from the teeth of the Ohio State defense. Ohio State's offense had a ton of issues last week against Nebraska, and this is a much better defense that they're facing this week.
Yeah.
Danny Dennis Sutton didn't practice on Wednesday. He's one of the big defensive linemen for Penn State. Now, whether he'll be out is a concern, but they have depth. They have talent on the defensive line. I mean, I think it's going to be pretty low scoring. When Ohio State's gone against good defenses this year, they have struggled a lot more to score. And I think this will be pretty similar in terms of offensive output to what they did last week against Nebraska. The question is whether Penn State can score. That Ohio State defense is nails. Very, very tough unit. There were some opportunities missed by Nebraska last week. There were some wide open receivers for touchdowns that they missed because Dylan Raiola is hitting that freshman wall pretty hard. But this one's a really hard one to pick, and I think it's just too many points for Ohio State. So I'm going to take Penn State. I'm not sure they win, but I've got this one as a very, very, very close game. I think both teams are going to struggle to move the ball, and it's going to come down to who makes a big defensive play, who makes, an interception in the other team's red zone, that sort of stuff that I think could dictate who wins this one.
Yeah, I'm with you here. I'm going to take Penn State. It's just too many points. I think it could be close. Now, is there scenarios where Ohio State just does the Ohio State thing and we're bigger, stronger, faster and better athletes all over the place and beats Penn State by like 14 points on the road? Sure. I mean, I could see that happening, and maybe it does since we're picking the other thing to happen. But the fact that Ohio State struggled running the ball against Nebraska, that was very concerning because, I mean, it's not like you don't have great running backs. The offensive line, there's some questions there.
Yeah, they're not fixing that offensive line overnight. Left tackle is a major issue, and they were not able to run the ball because of it.
And Penn State's pass rush is good, and I know they're a little banged up on the defensive line, but it's a really good front that Penn State has. And, it's probably like a cat and mouse thing with is Drew Aller going to play, but seeing Prabula, coming in, Parabola, let's call him Parabola, coming in. Someone in the chat said he thinks he fits the system a little bit better.
He absolutely does fit what Kotelnicki's done in the past more.
Yeah. But Ohio State's defense is legit. I think this is the year, though, that Penn State can kind of get over on Ohio State. There are some chinks in the armor, and it like you mentioned, it's more of an all-star team. I think we've seen Oregon play more like a team and even overcome some of the, struggles they've had early in the season and put all those high-priced free agents together, it seems like more of a team than what Ohio State is for whatever reason. I really thought they could run the ball better than they have. And if you go on the road like that and you're not able to run the football, there's some concerns there. Now, Penn State could screw up a bunch of times and throw some picks and stuff. And then if you let Ohio State's just athletes do that, then you can. But we saw Nebraska's, the way they were able to keep it close, and they had a lead late in that game. So I'm going to take Penn State in the points here too. I kind of feel like Ohio State wins a close one. I could see a scenario where they win by 14, but
this game needed to be at night. I think it's insane they're playing this at 9 a.m. Like if they could have put this at 4:30 kick, I think we would, or 4:30 Pacific kick, I think I would be singing a little bit of a different tune, that I would have been much more confident in Penn State winning. But as it is, I think it's a close game. And I think it's going to depend on who forces the ugliest turnover.
Okay. Kyle, I'm going to star your comment, Kyle, in the chat when we get to the USC Washington game. But I'll star that and get to that later, but thank you for that. Okay. Mark says, thank goodness for big new kickoff, because a night game in Happy Valley is no joke. Yeah. This kind of needed to be at night. I agree with you there, but, I mean, big noon kickoff, I'm cool with it, but unfortunately, like, sometimes you're just like, I want to see this as a night game. I don't necessarily want to see this as a day game.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a minor scuffle in Big Ten play here, but we got some bigger ones coming. No, obviously not. But there's some good games. Like David said, a lot of very close spreads. Let's go to another 9 a.m. game. We have
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
And they're at, and still ranked, number 24.
Illinois Fighting Illini.
Hi, I'm from Illinois.
All right, so what we know about these two teams is, from a recency standpoint, Minnesota is very hot right now.
Yes.
And they just blew out Maryland at home. Illinois, starting with essentially the second half of Purdue, their offense has been a bit of a struggle fest. They struggled to put Purdue away. And then if you watch that Michigan game, they really didn't do a whole lot offensively. That was more just, defense holding up pretty well against Michigan and, forcing some stops and some turnovers. And then at Oregon, could not score at all and could not stop them at all. Minnesota. So I think if you're looking at that Illinois offense, ideally you want to still flow through Altmyer and you want to create some things in that passing attack. But Minnesota's pass defense has been good this year. And that's been the strength for them. And it's hard to see Illinois getting a lot of shots downfield open. Minnesota, they're not explosive rushing attack, but they are pretty efficient. They're pretty good at converting their third and fourth and shorts. And Max Brosmer had the best game of, his short, FBS career, last week against Maryland. I just think from a, momentum is or is not a real thing. It's sort of like a Schrodinger's thing, but the fact that they're playing so well, I think their confidence is pretty high. And I think Illinois, they're kind of back to the drawing board again.
Yeah.
Now, this game is, just to give everyone the line, which I didn't do, 9 a.m. on FS1.
Isn't that your job to give people a line? Isn't that the first thing you're supposed to do every game?
Illinois is a three-point
God, you're terrible.
Illinois is a three-point home dog.
What?
Now, that's the part that's kind of crazy for me. That's the part where I'm given a little bit of pause, because I'm sitting here and I'm like, I think Minnesota is playing better right now, but I also think Illinois has been pretty good at home. They're not a poorly coached team. I think there's bounce back potential here. So even thinking that Minnesota is probably the better team on a neutral field right now, I'm going to take the points.
Damn. I was hoping you'd take Minnesota.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. I mean, I think Minnesota's a better team. It's just, it seems like that swung a little too far for me. If this was a pick 'em, I think there's more value on Minnesota, but like I could see it being like 20-19. Minnesota plays close games aside from, when they blow out Maryland. I think there's value in Illinois here.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you can't knock Illinois for just getting trucked by Oregon. Like that's, you know, that's just, that's going to happen. Like that, we've seen that happen. You're not going to like, but it's not too much of a black mark against the Illini. But here's, Matthew has a good comment. I'm going to say, Brett Bielema, he's 10-0 all time against the Gophers, believe it or not. So
yeah, baby,
I'm going with the Illini bouncing back. I like the way Minnesota's playing, but it's at home and you're getting points. Like, I don't know. It's hard to picture Minnesota going in there and beating them by a bunch. That, you know, Illini defense is still legit. So I don't know. We'll see. That just seems like a lot of points. So I'm going to take that. Hold on. AP is a little, has a little beef with us. He says, appalled that there were three gift card winners chosen last show when I was put into a death match versus seven over overcompetent reviews.
Sorry about that.
He says, just means, yeah, you can leave another one. You're good. AP, you know, just leave us another review. You'll be all right. Okay. So we're both going to agree. We're both going to take Illinois in this one. I guess the concern is that you got broken on the road in Eugene and you're just like, as a program, you're just like not where you were. Like they, like,
I'll go with Bielema being a good coach though. Like yes. It, you know, I don't think that team that's still ranked, I mean, they're still number 24 in the country, is feeling like, oh, our season's over because we got blown out at Oregon. I don't think any of them walked into the season thinking they were beating Oregon at Oregon. So I think it's right now they're sitting pretty at 6-2, have a pretty good shot at 10-2 if they can take care of business. I think the season's still out there for them, and I think they're going to come into this one with a real desire to, you know, kind of take back some of that momentum and see if they can finish with 9 or 10 wins.
All right, let's go to our next game. And here's one of the things, like why that the Penn State Ohio State game should have been played at night. You want to get big ratings, right? You want to get the biggest number possible. And when you put it up against a game like this, it's just going to eat into the ratings a little bit. Because over on the Big Ten Network at 9 a.m., we also have
Northwestern Wildcats.
Arr. And they're going in to West Lafayette to take on
Purdue Boilermakers.
9 a.m. on the Big Ten Network. Northwestern traveling to Purdue. Purdue's a 1-point home dog. Both of these teams are absolute ass.
I don't know what to do in this one.
I really
Matthew,
don't
tell
know.
Me in the chat. Matthew knows stuff.
Northwestern is like, okay, I critiqued their rush defense a couple of weeks ago, but it's probably the best unit in this game. Like if you're looking at it as pass offense, pass defense, rush defense, rush offense, their rush defense is probably the best thing in this game. Everything for Purdue is pretty bad. They're a little bit better throwing it than anything else, but they're not good. Neither offense is any good. I could go so many different ways at this one, but I think Northwestern is just a tick better. So I'm going to go with the Wildcats. But you could tell me anything. Like I think the great Jack Lausch is going to put the team on his back after putting together a subpar performance last week, throwing a couple of picks. I think he is ready to work. And it's going to be great. That's my firm prediction.
Mark has like a comment I don't think I should put up there, but Matthew says, if these teams were playing in my backyard, I'd close the blinds. yeah, I don't know either. Like I'm leaning towards, I've seen Northwestern do stuff where I haven't really seen Purdue do stuff, I guess. Who Northwestern beat somebody, right? Who they beat?
They went Rutgers. On the road and they beat Maryland.
Maryland, yeah. Like they actually showed a pulse at some point. So I'm going to take Northwestern too. If it was like a bunch of, like more than a point, then that would come into consideration. But a single point isn't really worth much. But I guess my eyes have seen Northwestern do a little bit more than what they've seen Purdue do.
That's what it is.
It's Purdue. Where do we have these teams ranked? So we have Purdue at 18, of course, and we have Northwestern at 17.
Yeah, battle for the basement, baby.
I'm going to say our power rankings are the That's the end all.
The ultimate arbiter of all things Big Ten.
I would say. So I'm going to lean, even as a low point, I'm going to lean Northwestern in this one. All right. So again, hopefully it doesn't crush the ratings of the Ohio State-Penn State game too much, but there we are. Let's move into the next window. Got a little road game, and I got some exciting news about this game, David.
UCLA Bruins.
Wow.
They're going on the road, taking on
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I'm peeling corn.
We did get an email, by the way, about this. Mm. And it's a text message. Intro for the Nebraska is what's his face wife's saying. It's Shane's wife. Quote, I'm peeling corn. Their mascot is the corn husker because you husk corn. Keep it mediocre. I'll play it again.
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I'm peeling corn.
Okay, so you husk
I think
corn.
That's actually a kid. Isn't that a kid saying I'm peeling corn there?
That's his wife.
Is that her voice or is that a kid's voice?
I think his wife did all of the sound effects.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It felt like a different pitch. Okay. But who cares? Come on. Peeling, husking, eating. I
mean, if you want to critique all of our drops, there's probably a lot of issues with all of them. Yeah.
They're gorgeous drops. The best drops. Speaking of the best drops, UCLA football. I don't know. That didn't make any sense. Don't worry about it. 12:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. The line has adjusted, and I have adjusted it because I intend to take one side of it, not the other.
Oh.
On the Big Ten Network, UCLA traveling to Lincoln to take on the Cornhuskers of Nebraska. UCLA is 2-5. Nebraska is 5-3. Nebraska is currently a 6-point home favorite. That line has moved.
From what?
It opened at like 7. It's okay. Now moved to like 6. It was at 6.5 yesterday, but now it's at 6. So it is moving in the direction of the Bruins. My read on this game, the best unit in this game is Tony White's defense for Nebraska, that 3-3-5. They are great at bringing pressure. What has UCLA done poorly with this year, Ryan, on the offensive side?
Everything. Like they're
handling pressure. Oh, okay. So Nebraska is going to be doing that. They've got a very good run defense. UCLA has been very bad running the ball. So it's going to be incumbent on Ethan Garbers to connect on a lot of short passes and try to put together something similar to what he did against Rutgers. However, Tony White is a much better defensive coordinator than anything Rutgers has, and they are not as beaten up on defense. So I think UCLA is going to go back to being a struggle fest on offense. On the other side, Dylan Raiola may have hit the freshman wall, and he also had some sort of shoulder stinger against Ohio State. I don't think there's any worry about him not playing this weekend, but, you know, is he going to be the Raiola of the first 5 games, or is he going to be the Raiola of the last 3 is probably the big question. And if he's more of the last 3, and I think he probably is because he's a true freshman who's hit the wall a little bit, they're going to be trying to do a lot of short passing, a lot of running, a lot of just kind of keeping it manageable. UCLA's defense can eat that stuff up. I think to beat this defense, you need to get it to intermediate depth. I think that can quickly put some strain on UCLA. I think, you know, counterintuitively, even with a quarterback who's not maybe seeing the field as well as he was early in the season, do some deep drops. UCLA can't rush the passer very well. He's going to have time to scan the field. It's just a question of whether Nebraska feels comfortable doing that. I don't think they will. I think it's going to be low scoring. But ultimately I think this 3-3-5 defense for Nebraska is going to be very tricky for UCLA to solve. I think Ethan Garbers is going to make some mistakes. I think there will be turnovers. And so I like Nebraska to cover. I think it'll be something like 17-9, 20-9, something like that. I think UCLA is going to be limited in the red zone and they're going to make some bad plays offensively, trying to throw too much against this defense.
Wow. Okay. We should go back to the other line, though. I think I'm going to take the other side of this. I'll go UCLA.
Oh, yeah,
what do the Bruins do well, David? You said they don't like handle pressure well. You know what they do well?
Tell me.
Covering freaking spreads. That's what they do well. They keep it close enough. They're not trying to win. You don't want to win, but you want to beat the spread.
No, winning's ridiculous. You don't want that.
They've done that. I spoke at a guest speaker at a USC Introduction to Sports Media class this week, and one of the students came up, and he went to high school with the Garbers, so he knows Chase and Ethan. And it was like, I guess they're good friends and stuff. And he said they're both really good golfers, by the way. But Ethan's been playing much better, right? Like, he's looking pretty good. I think there could be a little hangover effect from what Nebraska had to do against Ohio State. You had that game. You could have won that game, and you're sort of a little deflating there. Are you getting super up for this UCLA Bruins team that's from Los Angeles, if you didn't know that?
They are from LA.
Plus, LA won the World Series. So UCLA now being part of LA, that I know this now. I think it's going to the little boost from that. Yeah, 6 points. I don't know. I could see Nebraska winning. I could see Nebraska blowing UCLA, but UCLA showed a pulse. They've scored some points. I feel like they can keep this close.
Against what team?
Not a great team. Who was it, Rutgers?
How did they look the next week against USC?
Rutgers looked awful, yeah. I think UCLA beat them up.
How did they look defensively? Did they look like a team that knows how to tackle or knows how to position
What
defense is? Did it look like the offense was just playing defense? Did it look like they just switched sides and the 11 were that, like, you know?
Some of that.
Like, Manis playing safety.
But I feel like UCLA just broke them, you know, like similar to... Yeah.
Yeah,
like Illinois potentially being broke by Oregon. I think UCLA.
Yeah, very similar teams. Oregon, number one Oregon, and 2-5 UCLA.
Actually, they're only – so D-Bid 1 says they're only 4-3 against the spread. Mm. So that's not great. I thought they covered more than that. Maybe not.
UCLA didn't cover against Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't cover against Indiana.
Okay, nobody covers against Indiana. You were favored against Hawaii.
They covered against LSU, I think. They covered against
Oregon.
They covered against Penn State.
Actually, it's 5-3.
Yeah, they're 5-3 because they covered against Minnesota. Yeah. Not 5-3 because they're only... But yeah. No, they're 2-5. How could they be 5-3 against the spread? 5-2. They're 5-2 against the spread.
Oh, maybe it's 5-2. Come on, guys. 5-2 against the spread. Okay.
God.
So that's good. Like, and the only time you didn't cover,
don't make us do math.
The opener against Hawaii when you're a favorite. Like, this is, I'm saying UCLA as an underdog has covered, except for Indiana, and nobody covers against Indiana. So that is fine. I'm good with this. I will take the Bruins and the points. And that'll
great.
Be good. All right. We got the number one team in the country playing.
Oregon Ducks.
Going on the road to take on the defending national champions,
Michigan Wolverines.
Wow, scratch.
This is 12:30 on CBS. Number one, Oregon, 8-0, heading on the road to Michigan to take on 5-3 Wolverines. Oregon is a 14.5-point road favorite.
This is tough.
It's really tough because that feels like too many points.
But you've seen Michigan play.
I've seen Michigan play, but they also, like, they're not, like, they have talent. I mean, and especially on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they're not, like, allowing anybody to get out of. I mean, Texas scored 31. That's the high score for anybody this year on Michigan.
Yeah.
Now, Oregon's offense is, at worst, the second best offense they've faced, and maybe better than Texas. It really depends on what metrics you're looking at. So, you could see them maybe getting into that range. Offensively, can we see Michigan score? Oregon's defense is really good. Michigan, though, they were able to put some points up on Michigan State, and that was not a horrible defense going into that one. But they're generally being limited into the teens by decent to good defenses. I think I'm taking Oregon. They're playing at a very high level right now. Blown out Illinois at home. I think their confidence is sky high. I think Dylan Gabriel, if he can, you know, just stop shaving for 1 minute, I think he's got a. I think he's starting to operate this offense at a really high level of efficiency. not just completing passes, but completing them downfield in a way that wasn't happening at the very beginning of the year. The offensive line has played a lot better of late, and defensively they seem to be really locked in. So, yeah, I think Oregon can win this one something like 28-7, 31-7, 31-10, something in that range. It's hard for me to imagine Michigan keeping pace, and it's also hard for me to imagine Oregon scoring less than, I don't know, the 24 points it would be necessary to cover. So, yeah, give me the Ducks.
This is a tough one for me. I feel like with Oregon, if I feel like they're going to cover a big spread, they just sort of like play with their food. Dylan Gabriel shaves points and they don't. And then if I'm like, okay, give me all those points, then Oregon just absolutely boat. I mean, the Purdue game, Purdue just died. They scored 49 points the week before and then they did nothing. That was very discouraging if you're like, oh, I think someone can do something. But this is Michigan. This is at home. There's a lot of pride here. I kind of feel it'll be a little bit of a closer game, like Oregon win by like 10 or something. So 14.5 is a lot. I'm going to take Michigan. Not feeling great about it. Jack Tuttle, just so everyone know, he as medically retired from, I think he got another concussion. So he's out, but they're back with Davis Warren. You know, maybe this is the scenario, right? You got Davis Warren, Alex Orji comes in and picks up some first downs with his legs, and just sort of like that's where you're going to go with things. So it's just hard for me to see Michigan losing at home by that much. But I mean, it certainly can happen, and Oregon can be like a freaking buzzsaw. But I just feel like, you know, Oregon's had some good performances a few weeks in a row. Like maybe this is the like, hey, we just went by 10 on the road against the defending national champion, and that's the letdown.
It's so hard for me to see Michigan generating much in the passing attack. Like, I think that this could be a game where they're underwater passing, like, because combined with the Oregon pass rush being very, very good and Davis Warren being a little bit of an interception machine, it doesn't strike me as a good recipe. Like, I just think
he hasn't Michigan's since he's come back, right? Like, he had interceptions
back one game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's thrown 3 touchdowns and 6 interceptions this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, I'll take the Ducks.
Mark says San Marcos' own Jack Tuttle, so old he played with Olave, Chris Olave, who's now in the NFL high school. Cool stuff there. All right, so we've differed on the last 2 picks. This one, can't believe this is on Peacock, but we got number 13,
Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey, folks. I'm from Indiana.
By the way, there's not 12 teams better than Indiana right now. That's terrible. But, okay, and they're going to go on the road to take on
Michigan State Spartans.
Charge!
All right, so this game is, again, taking place at 12:30. This is on Peacock, which is insane. Number 13, Indiana, traveling to Michigan State to take on the Spartans. Indiana obviously is at 8-0. They should not be number 13. They should be in the top 10. Michigan State is 4-4. Indiana is an 8-point road favorite in East Lansing. From what I gleaned, Curtis Rourke is on track to be back.
Looks
for this
like
game.
It. Yeah.
Now, obviously, that could change in the meantime, but that would be a huge boost for Indiana, which was a little bit more limited in what it could do offensively last week.
And still covered.
But still covered.
Yes.
Because are you playing the drop?
Yeah. Come on.
He knows the score. He gets the women. Cignetti kills.
That's right. Because
I was saving that for later, but yeah, go ahead. All right.
Yeah. Curtis Rourke could be back. Their running game, though, even without him, looked pretty solid. I think when you add Rourke back in there, it'll look even better. Now we'll see how, you know, much the injury hampers him and all of that. But this Indiana team is just solid across the board. It's a really, 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 really good offense. This is arguably the best offense in the country this year. And that probably takes some pressure off the defense, but it's also a really, really, really good defense. Not the best defense in the country this year, but like comfortably top 20. This is an elite team. Thinking about them not as Indiana, the team we know, but
not the 3-9 Indiana from last year,
but elite ass team. Like, that's what they are. They're going on the road against a solid ish Michigan State team that probably feels a little bit burned about losing that one to Michigan last week and being down two scores in the fourth quarter. They played better than that, probably should have been better than that. But you're having a team on the growth curve for Jonathan Smith that has a quarterback who is prone to making wild mistakes constantly, going against a murderer and his elite team. Is there any more analysis necessary than that? Of course I'm taking Indiana.
Yeah.
Until they stop murdering teams, I can't take anyone else. I think Michigan State's really well coached. I think Jonathan Smith is going to put a game plan in place to do the best job they can of winning this game, but they've got a mistake-prone quarterback.
Yeah.
They don't really have a ton of playmaking talent, and the defense is a little bit one note in stopping the run, but not necessarily being great against the pass. So, yeah, I like Indiana to cover. I think they once again win by like 14 points.
Yeah, Grant's like, how many picks does Childs throw this weekend if Rodgers threw two last week?
Yep.
John says Indiana by two touchdowns. As usual, a lot of speculation in the chat about where Cignetti is going to go next year, which program he's going to go to. But I don't think, you know, this is my analysis.
He knows the score. He gets the women. Cignetti kills.
Yeah. Only eight Damn points. I don't think Vegas has caught up to the fact that it, like, that just because you have a 13 by your name, like, that doesn't mean that you're, no, this is a really good team.
I think it's I think it's one of those areas where Vegas sometimes struggles with, because a lot of the analytics systems, they bake in recruiting rankings into the whole thing, right? And yeah. Struggling with how to adapt to the transfer portal era, I still think Indiana is getting a power ranked a little bit lower than it should because the perception about their talent level. But you can't tell me Curtis Rourke and Elijah Surratt is not one of the best, like, quarterback receiver combos in the country this year. Like, they have a few weapons in the receiving core that were just obviously underrated even as transfers. And then Curtis Rourke, by virtue of having that ACL tear a year ago, he was underrated. You know, he came in and he's been what, the most impactful transfer quarterback.
I mean,
certainly right there in the conversation. It's like a Dylan Gabriel and a Will Howard.
Cam Ward, you know.
Yeah, Cam Ward. But, I mean, Curtis Rourke, what he has done to that offense has transformed it. So, yeah, definitely underrated talent-wise, and I think that's still kind of what's underbaking their perception in Vegas.
Oh, I guess there's a trophy in this game. They're talking about the rivalry in the chat, the old brass spittoon.
Nice.
We're not ready to tackle all of the trophies. There's way too many trophies in this conference. We need better mascots that can fight each other, and we need less trophies. I think that's what our contribution will be.
We need more mascots.
Better fighting mascots that we can compare and contrast. Yeah. I forget what this drop was.
God has mercy.
Cignetti.
Don't.
Cignetti kills.
Yeah. So it was some good drops there. Yeah. So until he stopped killing, we're going to keep picking Indiana to cover spreads and keep getting a free point every week. All right. Our, the later window games we have.
Wisconsin Badgers.
And they're on the road taking on.
Iowa Hawkeyes.
4:30 p.m. on NBC. Wisconsin traveling to Iowa. Iowa is a 3-point favorite at home, which feels like exactly right.
Yeah.
So, all right. Big news for Iowa is that Brendan Sullivan is going to start. Cade McNamara is in concussion protocol. So that will change the Iowa offense to a certain extent. They are going to be able to do more kind of read option stuff. Brendan Sullivan can move. And that will, I think, free things up a little bit more for this Iowa running game for Caleb Johnson. So I think that's a big thing right there. I think they're going to be getting a little bit more efficient offensively because of that. Wisconsin obviously had the disappointing finish to the Penn State game. I think that was a big emotional expenditure to try to get up for that one.
I agree.
I think this is going to be there's potential for a little bit of a letdown, even though they didn't win that game. I think it was just such a, you know, they were at such a high point emotionally in college football. So much about, you know, can you maintain that level? I do think Wisconsin's run game is good. And I don't actually think much of Iowa's rush defense this year. So there's, you know, there is some potential for Wisconsin to move the ball too. I think this will be higher scoring than most people would expect for a Wisconsin-Iowa game. But I like Iowa to, I like Iowa here. I think they win it, and I think they can win it by three. So give me the Hawkeyes.
I'm going to go with you there too. Just, I mean, being at home, usually it's like a 3-point thing. So, I mean, this is like a pick 'em kind of game, but I feel like there could be a little bit of that hangover effect for the Badgers, because it, you know, looked good earlier in that game, and then you know, Penn State kind of pulls away. What is it, you know, what's the overall mindset of the team? But, you know, Iowa playing at home, this might come down to like the second decimal point on punt average, you know, yardage or something. Like, it could be something like that. And by the way, Grant says this is for the Heartland Trophy. So another trophy. We got way too many freaking trophies in this league. But okay, this is the Heartland Trophy. I think Iowa takes it. This is one of the things that's not that many points. I'm going to take the home team here. We've seen Wisconsin, though, play some, you know, some good football at stretches. And I think first half against USC, first half more against Penn State there. But I just feel like, Iowa at home, if they can't, you know, having the run threat, a quarterback to help with the run game, I just feel like they can control this a little bit more. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, the market said it feels like a 16-13 game. I kind of agree with David. I think this might be in the 20s. I think we might see more points.
I think the Iowa we've seen this year has not been nearly as stout defensively, and they've been a little bit better offensively. And I think Wisconsin has figured enough stuff out from the beginning of the season to now. I think the big key for them is actually Braden Locke. If he can shake off kind of what happened to him against Penn State, where it just was a really rough second half with that pick six and then a lot of missed throws, I think they could keep pace with Iowa and get this into the 20s.
All right. We got one last game. We talked a lot of games, and there's like a culture in the Big Ten Conference, right? Like, there's just certain games that feel like Ohio State going to Penn State, but like Minnesota at Illinois, like Indiana at Michigan State, Wisconsin at Iowa. Like, I don't know. Does anything feel more Big Ten than that? Well, this one does.
USC Trojans.
Going to Seattle to take on
Washington Huskies.
It doesn't get any more Big Ten.
As a kid, snowbound for 6 months in the Midwestern Great Plains. This is one of those matchups you dream about when you're thinking about Big Ten football. You know, it's just one of those things that just, it's got the majesty of the Big Ten just surrounding it at all times. So we're excited for this one as obviously Big Ten correspondents. 4:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. USC traveling to Washington. Both teams are 4-4. Both teams are very disappointing this year. USC is a 2.5-point road favorite. Did I have that right in here? Yes, a 2.5-point.
Better be, yeah.
Road favorite. Okay, so Washington. Early on in the year, they were an analytics darling that was losing games because Jed Fish kept sustaining head injuries. The last 2 weeks, they've been more or less smoked by Iowa and Indiana on the road after beating Michigan at home. I would say you have an easy argument. They should be 5-2 right now. They absolutely should have beaten Rutgers at Rutgers. They probably should have beaten Washington State at home. But unfortunately, they're 4-4. Honestly, USC, kind of a similar boat. They've been very disappointing too, but you could argue they should have beaten Michigan. They should have beaten Minnesota. They very well could have beaten Penn State. They could have beaten Maryland. They also could have lost to Wisconsin. They also could have lost to LSU. They're two teams that I think are both struggling to finish games, to close out games, translate more of what they're doing offensively to multiple score wins. They're really struggling to do that on a consistent level. What we have recently is that USC was able to do that against Rutgers. And that was a pretty profound blowout. It didn't look like it as much in the final score, but I mean, on those graphs that you see from Stats of War where it's, did we get beat that bad? USC beat their ass. Like, that was, yes, Rutgers did get beat that bad. Washington hasn't done that this year to maybe anyone since Northwestern. I don't know. I like this as a very close game. I think at Seattle will present some challenges. It's also going to be a evening game in Seattle. So I think Washington's going to be up for it. Yeah, I'll take the Huskies.
I thought you were going USC there. I'm going to take Washington as well. 18-game home winning streak for the Huskies. Seems like I think Washington should be favored by a couple points in this one. Washington has been very bad on the road, and they've been very good at home. The big Michigan win at home. USC has been much better at home and hasn't won a Big Ten road game. There's debate if this would even count as a Big Ten road game because it's a former Pac-12 foe, but they haven't won away from home. The LSU win was good in Vegas. You know, it's a neutral site game, whatever. But I feel like this is one of those things where USC just hasn't played – I'm losing my bullets. Hasn't played well away from home. And those trips have been multiple time zones for sure. This is just up the coast. But it's just something about it. I just feel like we've seen the Huskies play good at home. Very, very good pass defense. So, USC likes to throw the ball. They'll run the ball sort of reluctantly. And Washington gives up a lot of yards on the ground and not so much through the air. Now, they've played some bad offenses, and the one good offense they played, they had their backup quarterback. But no one's completed more than 60% of their passes against the Washington defense all year. Their offense is kind of empty calories, David. A lot of yards, high-ranked yards, low-ranked points. And their special teams are some of the worst in the country. So this is the Jed Fish factor going in there. But they just play – they kind of get it together at home. So I'm going to take the points here. Maybe USC figures it out, and they go on the road and get a big win, and they both need it. I mean, they both need this one, but I'll take Washington as well.
I need this one. This is a necessary component of any scenario where USC finishes 6-6 or worse.
Oh, and you kind of
my prediction
that.
To be correct. This is a necessary win. This is a must lose for USC.
All right, we do have a super chat.
Oh yeah, baby.
Short round. I want to see UW try another wide receiver pass only to have the lateral picked off and return for a touchdown again. Was that a Brendan Carroll special?
Yes, that would be cool to see. I'd be excited for that one.
Yeah, and then we also had – let me get the – pull up the star. I will be up there. That's Kyle here. So, Kyle, let me put Kyle's comment up here. Thanks, Kyle, for writing in. He says, I'll shoot you an email. Come swing by the tailgate Saturday. RV gets down at 7 a.m. We're located by the docks serving gumbo. That sounds amazing. Would love to swing by. And if you're up there in Seattle, Washington fan or USC fan, we're going to do a meetup 6 p.m. on Friday at Sluggers in downtown Seattle. So come by Sluggers. It's kind of one of those narrow – a lot of the bars there in downtown are very narrow. This is a narrow bar, but it should be a lot of fun. 6 p.m. The World Series could have been on. There's no Big Ten game on Friday night, so no World Series anymore either. But come by, Kyle, anyone, we'd love to see you. And thanks for the invite. I'll look for your email. I definitely want to stop by some boats, David.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Because boats are fun.
Boats are great.
Sailgating is all good. Okay, cool. That's all our games. We both took UW in this one. All right. So what, are you tired? We're like keeping you up here.
I'm not feeling good, man.
I'm sorry, man. Okay. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll go through the questions and get you out of here. All right. Back in a minute, everyone. righty. We're back here on the podcast of champions. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll get to some of these questions and get you guys out of here. I think the first one's a text message from Smash in Nashville.
All right.
Lincoln Riley, I never thought I would see another coach that would make me miss Clay Helton. I think there's some revisionist
history. This one's going. Singing to me.
When it comes to recruiting, there is more than one position on the field, Lincoln, other than the quarterback. Miller Moss basically has five turnstiles in front of him. Recruit bigger offensive and defensive linemen or go back to Oklahoma where you belong. Not a single period.
Not a comma. That was Smash was not happy when he wrote this on Tuesday at 5:35 p.m. I can't agree with you more. We need Clay Helton back. We need him back. We need him tomorrow. He can rescue this thing.
Would Oklahoma take Lincoln Riley back at this point?
Not a chance in hell.
But they probably got to fire.
Yeah, they're going to fire Venables.
And they just gave him an extension.
Yeah, they're stupid. But there's some oil money there too. All right, this is Dylan from Albuquerque. Good morning, gentlemen. I wanted to start off by saying that David looked so clean cut and professional during his interview with Nebraska Public Media. Almost looked like a completely different guy. It makes you wonder when compared to his usual appearance on the show. Two different audiences, I suppose, as here you just have to worry about degenerates and 11-year-olds. Anyway, my question for this week, if you haven't touched on it already during the preview, is more so just wanting your thoughts on the hilarious possibility that USC's only Big Ten road win, if at all, can only come against one of the other former Pac-12 schools. Of course, I want USC to win this weekend at Washington, but I think it would be even funnier if the only conference road win came at UCLA. If you digest this further and look toward next year, USC plays traditional Big Ten road games at Illinois, Nebraska, and Purdue, meaning that after 2 years in the conference, there's a real possibility Lincoln Riley's only real Big Ten road win would be at Purdue. The additional conference road game next year is at Oregon. Fight on, I guess, Dylan from Albuquerque.
Yeah. I mean, you thought that they would. So I forget what the record is, but it's really bad, like in the Eastern time zone or whatever. And you thought, okay, well, beating Maryland, then you'll get at least get one of those out of the way. They lost to Maryland. Uh-huh. And if you've seen Maryland, you know, they beat USC. They beat USC by a point.
How bad does that look? Now, that
it's one of the worst losses in the conference.
In between the Northwestern blowout loss and the Minnesota blowout loss for Maryland.
Yeah. The 1 point line, and you saw the end of that game. It's like everything that had to go right for Maryland, like all of it did. Like you're down by 14, you score the touchdown, you go for two, you get it, you get the. It's like you never see that work, and it like worked. They can't like walk and chew gum in other games, and in that game they put it all together. But USC allowed that, so yeah, that's a terrible, terrible loss. And they're still trying to get their first Big Ten road win.
It's amazing.
Let's see. Okay, so we have Dr. Boomslang, Heisman, and the number one draft. Hello, Harry and Lloyd. Couple of questions for you. There's plenty of season to go, but who do you think will be the Heisman winner? As a Buff fan, I'd absolutely love Hunter to get it, but he was out for a game plus, so that'll be hard to overcome, let alone he's not a quarterback on a team that probably won't make the playoff. We can start with this one.
I think you've always got to look for good teams first. And so I would start with right now, Dylan Gabriel. I mean, he's got to be up there. Ashton Gentry for Boise State. You know, Boise State has a pretty good chance at a playoff berth, and he's been ridiculous. I mean, Travis Hunter, the thing is, I think it requires a different sort of year for Travis Hunter to win. I think there's going to be good quarterback plays from some very good teams. You know, Miami still has a pretty decent chance at playoff and all of that. And Cam Ward has been pretty good. So I think there's maybe just too many options for it to be a year where like kind of a weird one wins. But I think we'll know a lot more soon. But right now I'd pick Gabriel. I think he's been highly, highly efficient. I think that offense rewards efficiency, and I think he's done more downfield than Bo Nix did. So that'll get him a little bit more well thought of. And he's in a better league now than Bo Nix was, and he did it against Ohio State at home. I think it's going to be dependent on how they close out the year. But he's got to be close to the front runner right now.
Yeah, I think for me, he's up there. I like I'm a Heisman voter, and it's very regional. So I try to have West Coast representation on my ballot. You can vote for the top three. That's not going to be a problem this year. Like you mentioned, Aston Jeanty, like he might be the best player in the country. I love what Travis Hunter is doing. I think he leads the league in like touchdown passes, touchdown catches, and also pass defenses. He played, I think, 130 snaps in the last game. It's just such a unique, you know, it's really tough. If you're a wide receiver, you got to return a bunch of kicks and stuff. It's hard to win a defensive player. It's hard. But the fact that he's an elite offensive receiver and an elite cornerback, I think it puts him in a, we haven't seen something like this category. So he's going to be on my ballot, him and Cam Ward probably. So yeah, it's still, I'll see how it finishes, but those are like probably the top four with Gabriel on my ballot.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to talk about it publicly. Sorry, but I just did.
Who cares?
Next question. Who do you think will be the first quarterback taken in the draft? Joel Klatt, who is a Colorado alum, so probably some homerism, is adamant that Shedeur Sanders will go number one overall. He's good, strong arm, and accurate, but he drifts in the pocket and not fast, good scrambler. Will his experience working under former pro coaches put him above Cam Ward, Gabriel, etc.? I don't know why I'm asking you two. You're wrong about everything. Keep it mediocre, Dr. Boom Slang.
I think Sanders' skills and decision making translate better than the other two. I've never been a huge Cam Ward guy. Going back to when we were covering him at Washington
State, he was kind of bad. Like,
yeah,
but he's so much better now, you know.
Well, some of that's just being on a better offense. But you know, still can be prone to some Cam Ward decisions at times. Dylan Gabriel's highly efficient. Throws an accurate deep ball. I could see people talking themselves into him, especially with his mobility.
And Bo Nix is doing good, so maybe that helps. Like, if,
you know. Yeah, I think I still like Shedeur, though. I still think he's probably the top guy.
Yeah, I think there's buzz around a guy. Like, it could be real. Like Caleb Williams, there was just a lot of buzz last year, and the whole point was like you're trying to knock him down to figure out if he wouldn't be the number one pick. But everyone knew he was going to be. In this case, you're going to have buzz because it's the prime thing. But when you look at the underneath the surface, under the buzz, there's still a lot of substance. And so I think there's a lot of good reasons for him to be the number one pick. So,
yeah, totally.
This one's important.
This is from Mike. Basketball lessons for kids. Hello, I would love to enroll my kids for basketball lessons. Where are you located, please? Best regards, Mike. I coached basketball for a while. I can do that.
Did you?
Yeah, Mike, I'll respond to you off air. I'll read Brian's and Boyd's. Okay. This will be the last one for us. Bad call. Hello, Ryan and Dave. Ryan and Boise here. I got hit with a Pac-12 ref style bad call in the last episode when a listener told me to, quote, suck it. I need a command center review on this one. A brief recap. 11-year-old talks smack in the survivor pool. Dave doesn't believe an 11-year-old would ask him to, quote, swear less. I email in explaining that when I listen to the podcast with my son, I turn it off if F-bombs start flying. Hence, an 11-year-old would ask Dave to swear less. Listener fears I'm censoring Ryan and Dave and tells me to, quote, suck it. Thank you for saying the listener was too harsh and that you like Ryan and Griffin and Boise. But what the angry listener seemed to miss was the end of my original email, which was read on air. It said, but seriously, I'm not asking you guys to watch your language. Griffin has already heard way too many F-bombs this year from me while watching USC. I would like it noted for the record that I would never try to censor our esteemed hosts. Thanks, Ryan in Boise. Yes, and I thought we made this point very clear, which is your effort to not censor us, including that little grace point at the end, made it so that I did not want to drop any more F-bombs because that was a very gracious way of indicating, hey, I like the show and I don't really mind it, but I don't want my 11-year-old listening to a bunch of F-bombs, so I have to turn it off. But you guys are great. And that strokes all of my, you know, ego needs and allows me to be gracious in response. So, no, it was a perfect comment. And the other email was too harsh.
All right. We got a couple kind of LA-based comments in the chat, and we'll get out of here. Matthew, out of curiosity for SoCal people, who would you say is the most popular sports team in LA? The Dodgers, Lakers, other?
Probably the Dodgers, but yeah, the Lakers are close.
The Dodgers, Lakers, it was kind of like Dodgers, Lakers, USC football, and UCLA basketball for a long time. Like, those were, like, you know, some of the big ones. Having the NFL, it's sort of like if you go to a Rams game or you go to a Chargers game, like, there's a lot of visiting fans, you know? You don't get that much at the Dodger games.
I don't think people really care about the NFL still in LA.
Yeah. It's more of like a, like, you care, like, when the teams left, people liked that you could watch all the best games instead of, like, the old Rams versus Saints game. Like, yeah, you had to get, like, people kind of got used to just watching the better games.
Well, like, because I do, you know, kid drop-offs and stuff. Like, if I'm, like, looking at the apparel of both the kids and, like, parents and that sort of stuff, you see a lot of Dodgers, you see some Lakers, you see some UCLA and USC, you see your requisite amount. I don't ever see Rams gear, certainly never Chargers gear. up here, because I'm South Bay, I think you'd have to go further south to get Angels gear, but I think Angels are pretty popular. I just wouldn't necessarily classify them in the same kind of LA, despite their stupid name. So stupid. It's so stupid. You're not the Los Angeles Angels. You're Orange County.
Of Anaheim. Yeah.
Good God.
So hockey is very niche, but, like, Kings fans are very, like, there's a lot. There's
when
a bunch
Kings
of them
in the playoffs. There's people, like, there's people who are watching.
But it's not like a widespread. But they have a very loyal fan base, and I think even, you know, with the Ducks, you know, in Orange County, a little bit. Yeah, so it's kind of a weird thing, and you got to be winning, or otherwise people don't care.
Yeah, but I would go Dodgers first, then Lakers second, and then it kind of depends on who's good right then.
Okay, let's see. We got the Clippers. They have some passionate fans, but bigger choke job, A&M at UCLA in 2017 or the Yankees fifth inning?
Ooh.
That Yankees fifth inning was awful, man.
That was incredible.
My God. Five unearned runs to, like, Europe five, like, holy crap. Like, I don't think the Yankees are winning the series anyway, but, man, that's a tough way to go.
You know, I talk about the video game too much, but I'm going to do it again. I was up 38-7 as Texas A&M on UCLA at home in the third quarter. And I found a way to lose.
That's a bigger
joke. I didn't 2 o'clock. I got super arrogant. I'm like, I can throw all over this dude. You know what I couldn't do? I couldn't throw all over that dude. No, he started picking me off. I think I threw, like, 3 pick sixes.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it felt like I was trying to recreate the UCLA Texas A&M comeback. Yeah, I mean, World Series is just more important. So anytime you just gack away a huge lead in the World Series, that's got to be, you know, super far up there. The one that always stood out to me was, I think it was Giants Angels Game 6, 2002. I think the Giants also had a 5-0 lead in that game.
Oh, yeah.
And massive comeback, starting with I believe it was Scott Spezio with a 3-run dinger. But that was a brutal loss, because the Giants could have won the series right in that game, and then they didn't. This one, Yankees, you know, they were playing to just try to take this thing back to LA. They didn't really have a hope in hell of winning the actual series at that point.
Kyle says biggest choke job was UCLA at Washington State a few years ago, and the Fighting Chip Kellys came storming back. Well, that was a massive comeback, right? Wasn't that, like, do you remember that one?
Yeah, this was insane.
It was like 40 something to, like, 20
something. 49-17, I think, was the high score. And that was, like, early third quarter.
And then came back all the way and won that game.
Yeah, and had the lead, like, pretty early in the fourth quarter. Like, it wasn't like, and then Washington State had to come back again, and then UCLA finally put them over the top. I think it was finished, like, 67-63, something like that.
Wow.
Crazy game.
Cool. Okay, well, I think that's all we got. Thanks for everyone for being so active in the chat. We really appreciate it. It's a lot of fun to do this and interact with everybody there. Hopefully our picks are good. Hopefully you can go over to MyBookie, use promo code POC, and get a little action yourself. And you can fade us, you can go along with us, you can pick one of us to go with, whatever you want to do. You have some fun with that. But David, anything last request before you fly out to Nebraska? I can't believe you're covering a game, like,
person. I'm going to be covering it sick. What is this? This is stupid.
That doesn't seem like you.
No. No thoughts. I've got no thoughts left in my head. I am an empty vessel. I am ready to be filled up by so much knowledge. I'm gonna try to consume some runzas. Is that what we're going with? Is that what we're calling them these days?
I don't know.
Who knows? I'm gonna try to view some corn. Never seen it in the wild. Could be cool.
You've never seen like corn growing on?
I've seen some corn.
Okay.
But it's a little joke about Nebraska.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Husk it. If you see it, don't peel the corn. Husk it.
I'm gonna peel it. I'm gonna husk it, and then I'm gonna consume it. I'm gonna do it all.
You can do
I'm
it all.
I'm gonna husk it, peel it, then consume it.
Do you ever put popcorn in the freezer?
No.
I think it's like a TikTok thing or something. I saw it like on Instagram or whatever. Like, I guess you make the popcorn and then freeze it for a little bit, and it's actually better. I don't know if people like that, but find out Nebraska because they know corn.
Exciting.
It's very exciting. Okay. Well, that's going to wrap it up. For David Woods, I am Rambo. I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.